coming through.
This is Officer McCorn. We got a 1031.
I got dibs! Officer Hawk, I am in pursuit! Woo,
woo! I need you to run a plate.
Flash is the fastest guy in there. He can run the plate like that.
Wait. They're all slots?
Are you saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast?
Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash.
Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Officer Judy Hopps, CPD, how are you?
I am doing
fine.
Well, what?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a plate.
For you.
Well, I was hoping you
today.
Could... Well, I was hoping you could run a plate for us. We are in a really big hurry.
What's the plate?
29T...
Number.
29THD03.
29T...
HD03.
H...
D03.
D.
Zero, three.
Zero.
Three.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
Okay. What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know.
Pregnant.
Yes, very funny, very funny. Can we please just focus on the task?
Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no!
Yes? Flash?
What do
no.
you call
a three-humped camel pregnant? Okay, great, we got it. Please jump. Hurry, we gotta beat the rush hour in. It's night!
Good morning. The clicker's not working. It's slow, yeah, it's just slow. You want to try it again? Okay, that's better. And then I am very echoey. So, well, good morning. And just before Christmas, my family went to see Star Wars, and that was one of the preview. And when I saw it, I said, I got to use this. You know, I got to use this for this week's message. But then the topic today is joy. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I use this? And it's not quite there. So most of this week I spent trying to, you know, figure out how to fit this trailer into the main message. And I just couldn't. I just couldn't. So this has nothing to do with the message. Well, laughter is good for your soul. And laughter is definitely part of joy. But joy is more than entertainment, isn't it? Entertainment can lift us up and make our hearts light. But joy is something more. And in fact, it is slow. Coming. Okay, it's not working, guys. No, it's on. So joy, okay, keep going, next. So joy, here's a Webster Dictionary definition. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or the prospect of possessing what you really desire. Makes sense. And in fact, even in Scripture, this is what it is. It's an emotion. And it's emotion associated with goodness. It's emotion associated with success. In King, 1 Kings chapter 1, when King Solomon was coronated, here it says, then they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, long live the king, Solomon. And all the people went up with, after him and playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy so that the earth was split by their noise. So in scripture, in the Bible, the idea of joy is this intense, just exuberance, intense just a shout and happiness. And in here, 3,000 years ago, before Seahawks rock the earth, here's recorded, the earth shook because of this joy. And it was, this was an emotional response on the part of the people of Israel. And in fact, in many parts of scriptures, especially in Psalms, it says, shout for joy. So it involves the expression, just bursting forth of energy and power associated with joy. But then you may be saying, like me, honestly, even though I stand up here, I'm very introverted. And I don't often express my sense of excitement or joy outwardly. And you know, not everybody is like this rabbit who's always excited and outgoing. We could be very introverted, and yet we could have that emotion, the deep sense of satisfaction. In the New Testament, it's used in that way. Says John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Right? Or as I remember, Paul says to Timothy, I remember your tears as I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. It's not always necessarily a bubbling thing, and yet definitely it's extremely deep-seated. It isn't an emotion. And emotions are powerful, powerful driver in our life. We're created as an integrated being. We're a spiritual being, we're a physical being, we're a relational being. And yet we cannot separate those things. We're in an integrated being. And so emotions are part of who we are. And whether we like it or not, often emotions drive us. And in our life, if we're really honest, it's actually fear that drives us the most. Sometimes anger, but joy, not really that often. Why is that? Just it's because it's an emotion evoked by well-being and success or good fortune. And when you look around, those things are often rare in our life, right? So therefore, we don't experience joy that often, and we end up looking for some substitute. We end up for looking entertainment, just to lift us up for the moment. And yet those moments are very elusive. They disappear so fast. And in fact, that is why God is offering us a something deeper, something different, qualitatively different kind of joy. In fact, if you dig scripture a little bit deeper, here's a slightly different definition of joy. It's a deep, vibrant satisfaction. It's still an emotional response on our part, but it was evoked by, given by God himself. Emotion that comes with God's presence or by the prospect of being with all that God is and he has to offer to us. So So that's our definition of joy, or at least that's the definition of joy you find in Scripture. Here's one in Psalm. It says, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound." See, the grain and wine are circumstances. That's our success. Yes, that brings us joy. But Psalmist says, in this case, probably David, he says, that no, but you, God, you have put more joy in my heart. In the same way, in Psalm 16, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, a pleasure forevermore. You may have heard in the past, even in services, the messages, and to be honest, I've taught this before and I repent, and that is that somehow joy is not emotion, but it is. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's an extremely intense emotions. And if anything, God wants more of that for you and for me. Not less. And it is with God that joy exists. Splendor and majesty are before him, before God, and strength and joy are in his presence, in his place. God is the source of joy. Joy is in his place. And that is why the familiar Christmas, the announcement the angel made, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, again, a little bit geeky, greeky here. The actual language has much stronger sense. And so here's my own translation. It says, behold, I proclaim to you great joy. It's not the news. News is not what the angel was talking about. Angel said, behold, I bring you great joy that will be for all the peoples of the earth. There is that strength in that proclamation. In other words, angels were saying, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the great joy. You see, Jesus is the joy. And that's why he could say, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And when, after the resurrection of Jesus, disciples are filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. See, joy is a main theme throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament as well as New Testament. So the joy still is an emotion, but what God says in the Bible and what he offers through Jesus is the new source for your joy. Instead of circumstances and situations, instead of your success or good fortune, he's saying God himself is the source and can be the source of your joy. Now, also about joy, it's something that we can choose. See, even as emotions, we have, it's a powerful thing. And often we're driven by emotions and yet we can control them, right? We can certainly control anger and we can also choose joy. And that's why in Nehemiah it says, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord and do not be grieved. God commands that. Stop being sad. But for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. This was spoken in the context of the people of Israel who were dispersed all over, were gathered back to Jerusalem. They were rebuilding the city, which symbolized the presence of God. And then they came together and listened to the word of God, the law of Moses. And they were weeping. Maybe some remembering the past glory of Israel. Some remembering the sins that they had committed. And then some in joy of the new Jerusalem coming together. But there was quite a bit of crying and weeping. And in that context, God commands, stop grieving. Stop crying. This is a day of joy. And the joy of the Lord will be and is your strength. Practically what that means for those of us who know Jesus Christ, it is to turn to our hearts toward God and to worship. To worship. Turn our hearts toward God and worship. And remembering who he is. In Habakkuk, this is a beautiful place. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Wow. That's pretty bleak, isn't it? Situationally, circumstances. And yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will make joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on my high places. See, no longer you and I were bound to joy based on circumstances or situations. We can have joy based on who God is and what he has done. You can choose joy. Now, joy is a paradoxical thing. I want to share with you two kind of a paradoxes found in Scripture. Interestingly, when Jesus talks a lot about joy, but at least in the Gospel according to John, he started to talk about joy toward the end as he comes closer to his own death and crucifixion. In chapter 16, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. You see, it's interesting that sorrow and joy coexist. Maybe because of our culture, we try to avoid sorrow. We try to push it away or bury it, hoping that by doing that, we can experience joy. But in doing so, often somehow we don't feel anything anymore. Isn't that your experience? Do you have some deep, painful sorrow that you just buried because it's so painful to go to? But have you noticed in doing that, you just stopped feeling altogether? God wants to take you back into that pain so that you can regain that deep joy. Here Jesus says, basically, you're going to be sorrowful. You have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to walk through the sorrow. You have to go through that pain. But only after you have gone through that, you will regain an incredible, indescribable joy. Joy that you never thought was possible. Jesus was the one who went through the excruciating death on the cross, and he's the one who could say that your joy may be made full, because he's the one who went through that sorrow and the death on the cross. The joy that God wants to offer each of us is, in that sense, very paradoxical, that we have to face sorrow in order to gain or regain that joy. And the second paradox is this. In theological terms, it's called here or already but not yet, meaning that God has promised joy for us here and now, and yet at the same time, the fullness of joy will never ever fully grasp here on earth. And I think God has done that in order for us to keep us moving forward, so that we won't settle down here on this earth thinking that this is as good as it can get. A friend of mine who is a missionary to Japan told me this once, that for those of us who know Jesus, as bad as the world and your and my life may seem, this is as bad as it can get. From this point on, every step we take, it's upward. But for those of us who do not know Jesus, this life on earth, as good as it may seem, is as good as it gets. See, we're created for not this country, but the country, the kingdom to come. And we do not forget that. And God doesn't want us to forget that. And that is why, as much as he has promised us joy, which is based on Jesus who is in you, and yet that even that joy could remain elusive, because he wants us to be still longing for the perfection yet to come. Imagine, we just had Christmas. I hope many of you, if not all of you, had a wonderful one. And I certainly enjoyed it. My kids have been gone as they get older, and it's wonderful to have them back. And even that joy seems so temporary, so fleeting. And yet what God promises us is joy that is 100 million times more fulfilling and more intense in the ages to come. And that is the joy that is stored up for you and for me. So Jesus even said, it was in Hebrews, but about Jesus, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was what? Set before him. Even though he himself was joy, the one who walked on the earth, he also had joy that was set before him. And he went through all of that crucifixion and the agony, betrayal, and suffering for one single purpose. What kept him going was joy. Joy that was set before him. And the same joy awaits us in the future. So this morning I want to ask you, in closing, where are you this morning? We just went through a whole bunch of things about joy, but are you at a point where you need the new source for your joy? Are you tired of looking for your success or your better fortune to feel that sense of deep satisfaction, and yet It's always fleeting and elusive. Do you need that new source who is God to be your source of joy? Or are you at a point where you need to choose joy? That you are allowing fear to control you or anger? And yet, if you're in Christ, God says you can choose joy. You have been given the power. And in fact, the joy himself dwells in you. Or are you at a point where you need to really embrace the pain and the sorrow that you've been just avoiding? Thinking that, you know, that's not the way to joy. But maybe it is. It is painful, but Christ promised us to walk through that with you. Or are you at a point where you want to learn more about looking toward the future? I'm not talking about 2016, but beyond this earthly life. What awaits you in the ages to come? And it's okay to let your mind imagine what that looked like when all things will be restored. All pains will be gone. All injustice be righted. Where are you this morning? Let's pray. God, I thank you for joy. It is an intense emotion. We're meant to feel and experience. And yet the source, maybe we have been looking at wrong things. Father God, help us to turn to you to be the source of joy. And for some of us, help us to walk through that painful past that we may regain our joy. And yet, still for some of us, we need to look far beyond the future. We don't belong here. We belong to another country. Just as Jesus, setting his eyes and heart on that joy yet to come, bore the cross and bore shame. Father, we want to have the same sense of expectancy. Help us, for we ask in Christ's name.